Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Thanks so much for listening to this interview for The Orphans. You can head on over to patreon.com/orphansaudio to support the show and get way more Orphans content. You can also follow us on social media at Orphans Audio, and you can head to our website, orphanspod.com, for transcripts, merch, and a link to our Discord. See you there. Hello, and welcome to another interview for The Orphans. This time, we have resident woman.
You need to give me a proper name.
I do.
Yeah, I need a title.
You're,
You're just, I don't know, you don't even have a name for me, you're just like, this person.
The person that does all the things.
I do.
You do a lot of different roles.
Yeah, but I do. But what do we call me? Is the question.
Sound assistant?
Yeah, we can call... Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Sound assistant.
Yeah.
Jodie Stedman.
Sound assistant.
Yeah.
That's me, bitch.
Snap, snap, snap.
Snap, snap, pow.
I don't have any questions prepared like I did for the cast members because...
We're going to talk about the making of the show. We're going to talk about my really annoying character.
Well, we can talk about Stella for a bit, but I think let's talk...
Oh, no. I know one likes her.
You don't know that?
I'm joking. I'm going to have my fan group point, with t-shirts for me. And no one's met Stella.
Yeah, at this point.
Wait, let's not tell them that. Who's Stella? What?
This won't be released until after.
Oh, okay. Well, now you've met. But then what do you want about? They've met Stella.
Yeah, but like in this point in time, so you couldn't know.
Okay, well, we're talking from
past. You couldn't know
if
she was popular or not.
Well. I'll have you know. I'm going to have my own fucking clothing line.
Spin off.
I have my
series.
Own show. It's me and Evil Jeffrey. Basically, we fall in love. He finally decides to like me. Yeah. Yes, sir.
It's Stella. Ba-da-ba-ba-da-ba.
Please don't. No.
No, never.
I'm so annoying. Why did I agree to be in the show? Okay, let's talk about how we decided.
How
Stella came about. Okay. So I knew you was doing the show.
Yeah.
We was at the pub having a drink.
Yeah.
As you do, you know.
As you do. We'd just seen a film.
We just see. What did we see?
The Big Short.
The Big Short, yeah. We was talking about Zach's show over a beer, and I was just joking about, because we both watch American Horror Story.
Yeah,
We both like the character.
And it was the time Hotel was on.
And the cleaner woman. What's her name?
I don't even remember.
I forgot her name, but she's a great character.
Yeah.
And we were just joking, and I said, oh, I could be a cleaner, and... Well, Zachary's brain.
And I said, you know what? I can make that work.
Yeah, and well, he did. And
well, he did.
We met up to talk about the character and all of, like, I just straight away felt uncomfortable and was like, why did I sign up for this? Why? You only had one beer. I was Jesus Christ, Jodie. What have you done?
What have you done to yourself?
What have you done? You've just
signed
up.
But did you have a good time? Do you like Stella now?
No, she's horrible. I'm joking.
No, do you enjoy, like...
I felt really uncomfortable in the room with everyone when they know what they're doing, they're actors, you know. They
you
know their
that,
characters
like...
very well, and I'm there repeating my line 50 times because I can't say all did. I just can't
yeah,
say
like,
my
we
lines.
We were doing pickups with Jodie for episode 7 and, like, spot it in the episode where you say, the line was, how can they not know, sir? I thought they all did. And you said...
All did. All did. I thought they all did.
Now that to me, and I think to the American listeners, would sound like audit. Audit?
Audit. Wait, okay, what's the line?
How can they not know, sir? I thought they all did.
How can they not know, sir? I thought they all did. Come on, that sounded like audit that time.
Yeah, it sounded like audit.
Oh, fucking hell. Do you know what? I can't English, okay?
So
I'm from
we
London.
Ended up changing...
can't pronounce properly.
We had to change the line to all new.
They all knew. Oh, yeah, I remember
yeah,
we had to change it,
yeah.
You and James were just screaming at me. All did. Say all. Say did.
And you would say all correct. You would say did correct. But when you put them together...
I can't.
They
can't,
didn't work.
Because can't English, man.
No.
Well... That's my character for you. That's me summed
can't
up.
Speak.
I can't speak. You know.
So when did you first come on board the show? When was the first time that you were thrust into the world?
I think you approached me a while ago and you told me, oh, you know, Jodie, I'm going to do this show. Do you want to help record? Because at the time you didn't really know the equipment
very well. Yeah.
And I'd recently worked with this piece of equipment that could record 7 channels, which was perfect.
Six, yeah.
No, sorry, yeah, no, you're right. The 6, the 7 characters. My bad.
Says the one who apparently knows the
equipment. Apparently I know this equipment very well. Clearly not. It could record 6 channels, which is exactly what you wanted. So I was in charge of recording voices and you was in charge of directing and scripts and whatever, whatnot. Our first session was fun.
Yeah.
We
never had a session in that room again.
We never did. No, it was our first and only in that room. It was a good room.
It was a good room.
Yeah, we put the sheets up and everything
to make it soundproof.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I was having some house drama at the time. So I was very distracted while she was like directing, like, oh yeah, let's do that line again. And I'm just sitting in the corner like, oh, must sort out my problems. But no, that was really fun because it was the first time everyone came together and met each other.
Never met most of the cast.
I knew Amy.
Because I just finished
a film with her. Yeah. But I didn't know, like, oh, just, is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Just... Sorry, Mike. I didn't know Gavin. I didn't know...
Alex. You knew Deck. You knew Ruby.
Yeah.
You kind of knew James.
Kind of, yeah, but...
Vaguely.
I didn't know what he was like. Now I'm very confused.
What is
James.
He like?
He's crazy. James and his kazoo.
Oh, God.
You
tell
need
them
to
about the kazoo.
You need to confiscate
if
it.
If these
him.
Listeners also happen to listen to Making a Scene, the podcast that James and I do, they know about the kazoo, but tell them about the kazoo. They don't.
So James has this kazoo.
What color is it?
It's gold, isn't it?
It's gold.
Yeah, it's fucking
gold.
Yeah,
kazoo.
It's a gold kazoo. He's a fucking classy motherfucker. Well, if you saw him as well, in this red and black.
Red and black with the gold kazoo.
Yeah, he's very stylish, very cool. I did recently admit I was his biggest fan.
Yeah, you did. Probably whilst drunk.
Very drunk. Yeah.
Okay, well, let's talk a bit about the show and how do we do it?
Oh, wait, okay, let's tell them about the first time you actually approached me on some Foley. Because I was only ever involved. I would only ever record for Zach.
Yeah.
But I remember bumping into him on the corridor once. And he was like, Jodie, I need your advice. I need someone, the sound
climbing
of someone climbing a tree.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. Go out and climb someone climbing a tree. He was like, no, I don't want the background noise. Da, 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 da. I was like, okay, right. Go get a tree. Okay. do you want to come help me? Sure, let's fuck it. Let's go get a tree. And we went to the forest next to our uni. And yeah. We brought back a fucking tree.
We brought back
not a literally
few...
a tree, no, but we brought back branches, logs,
leaves.
We were searching.
And you
know
that worked.
Yeah, we had good fun. Well, we had that really long branch.
Yeah, I used that for the hand.
Getting that round the corner in.
Oh God, we couldn't. We had to get it sawed in half.
We had to get it sawed in half, and it was, everyone was just staring at us. It was ridiculous. It was fun though. So yeah, that was the first kind of time I came on board with the actual Foley recording, which was awesome. And then the second adventure we had.
Oh yeah. That's recorded.
That is, yeah, that was fucking awesome. We needed to get the sound of the dome floor.
Yeah, the sound of the dome floor.
Yeah.
That was
Zach wanted some kind of concrete sound, and I was like, okay, let's go out and find some, I don't know, we'll probably find some loose brick somewhere. And we come out of
my house.
We come out of Zach's house, we turn left. Literally, and I'm literally
like two doors down.
There's building works going on, just a pile of treasure.
Bricks and
no,
rubbish.
It's treasure. And I you know, I said to Zach, oh my God, why don't we just ask them? And he said, No, we'll go look, we'll come back because you're shy.
I am
you're
shy.
And me just being me, excuse me, can we have some of your rubbish? And they asked us, yeah, sure, what are you doing? Explain what we were doing. And we took so much stuff.
We did.
And we actually went back at like nighttime, and we felt like weird because they hadn't given us permission this time. But
we did.
We took it anyway.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't get the thing we wanted, but.
No, because it was stuck in there pretty good.
Yeah.
That's fine. We figured it out. We figured it out.
Yeah, we've had some good times with this.
Yeah.
The Foley. Yeah.
And you're always there to like.
Always there for support.
Yeah,
just
so
on
you'll listen to things and you'll be like,
"That doesn't sound good."
And I'll be like, "Yeah, you're right.
Don't like it. Come and fix it, mate. You're better than that."
But there are times when I'm like, "Fuck off, Jody. I'm not fixing that."
Oh yeah, when
can't
I'm
be bothered.
When I'm rooting for certain characters and you won't allow my opinion.
Oh my God. Why don't you just tell them? Because I mean, you want. What did you want?
Okay, guys, I'm very passionate about this. So if you support me, you know. Please voice that you support me because I think this should happen. But yeah. Come on, guys. Baz and Nora. They're meant to be. They are meant to be. They're supposed to have children and have smart, intelligent leadership kids. And yeah. It should happen. If there's going to be a season two, I believe you should write this in.
But Baz is dead.
Spoiler.
This will come out after 7.
I know Baz is dead, okay? I think we're all still a bit upset about this. It's a bit of a sore subject, okay?
Only just happened for you.
Guys, I feel your pain. Trust me.
You did it!
I killed him!
Yeah!
Yeah! Yes, bitch! Yeah, I did kill him. Sorry, guys. You may hate me right now. Don't worry. I was very sad at the scene as well. I'm a dick. But remember, I'm not the writer, okay?
Yeah, to be fair, ultimately it's me that
but then again, I did kind of force myself onto the show. I could be a cleaner.
Did you? You did, but you were just kidding. I could have been like, Jody, that's funny, no. But I was like, you know what? Yeah, that's a good idea.
No, it was
we're
not.
We're going to do that.
Well, it was, because now everyone hates me.
No, I think we definitely needed stuff. You needed someone in there, because the evil Jeffrey is kind of formless. He's... Doesn't have a body.
Yeah, question. Well, I don't know if this will ever get answered. But does everyone, you know, people out there, are you aware Evil Jeffrey is not an object? He's just...
In the facility.
He's in the facility. Like, because I didn't know if that was going to be...
I think that's like a sci-fi trope. I mean, like,
but I'm not
HAL 9000's inside the ship.
But to me, I don't watch a lot of sci-fi, so even I was kind of questioning, wait, who's... I even asked you, who's the fuck is Evil Jeffrey?
Well, I think you can tell the difference between them contextually.
I mean, yeah, because he jumps between rooms,
yeah,
and you can hear him, yeah. So it does essentially make sense, but I'm silly, and I need that to
well,
be
like, when they're
told
talking
to me.
Each other, I think you can tell the difference, because...
But then again, it's like what Dottie said, like, you don't... When I showed her it, and... She said, does it have to be so, like, told?
Yeah.
So I guess, no, it doesn't.
Sometimes it does. Sometimes
yeah.
It doesn't.
But I don't know. I'm just wondering if anyone else caught on to that, or if I'm just an idiot.
I I hope people caught on to that.
Yeah, me too. Otherwise, this last episode could be very confusing. But fuck it, it's done now.
It's done. We're not going to fix it. Fuck it.
It's done. But yeah, no, it was fun. And now we're done. Guys, we just wrapped.
We just wrapped.
We wrapped.
Like, if you were on our Facebook page and you saw that video.
Yeah.
This was like, probably like maybe an hour ago.
Good 2 months. Yeah, you're listening
to
2 months. Well, 7 episodes. It's like a week away from being 2 months. I expect this.
What?
No, but what I mean is there's 7 episodes.
You mean that this will be released?
Yeah. So this would be 2 months later.
I thought you were talking about like.
No, we're just saying when we wrap.
It's been 2 months working on this, something.
No.
That's so long.
Yeah, it's
I've been working on it
that.
For 7 months. You've been working on it for about 5.
Yeah, I came on in February.
February.
That one.
Yeah.
Been fun. Been fun couple months.
Yeah?
It has.
I'm glad you
spent a lot of time in that.
I remember when you came to me and you said, "You know, I've really enjoyed working on The Orphans. Can I get more involved, please?"
Oh! Do you know, I was writing an essay at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was just so bored. And I remember you sent me some episodes to read. Mm-hmm. And I just got really excited in the moment. Probably because I was just so that essay, man, jeez.
Exhausted.
Yeah. And I was just like, oh, I just want to work on this again. And I was like, fuck it, I'm going to ask him if I can do some more work. And then, I did a voice cut for episode 4.
Yeah,
thank God I wasn't in that one.
That's kind of why I gave you that.
It was hard enough picking other people's voices and go, oh, that was a bad take, da, da, da. But if it was my voice, none of it would have got put in.
That's kind of why I didn't give you episode 4. 5 or 6 or 7.
Is that why you're also not in the show?
No, I am in the show.
Yeah, but come on.
Yeah, and also I'm not a great actor.
But is it also because you'd probably hate your voice? Everyone hates their voice in video.
Probably.
Everyone's like, oh God, is that what I sound
but
like?
But I don't want to act and also direct because I can't really...
Yeah, it's true. You can't really focus.
I can't be critical of my own performance.
It's true.
And give an honest performance. If you know what I mean?
Yeah. Guys, who thinks Zach should be in season 2?
Absolutely not. That's not going to happen.
It's a minor role. You could be a cleaner. No, I'm joking.
Are you, though? No. Oh, I'm so excited about season 2.
But don't get too excited.
I have to get excited.
But...
Because the thing
I mean, it's pretty exciting, but...
I can get as excited as I want because... It's in my head.
Yeah.
I know enough about it to be excited about it as well. Hmm?
I know enough about it to be excited about it as well.
Like, when you can't... I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah. It was when we was having dinner in Dylan's, and you were just telling me everything, and I was just getting way too fangirl.
Hyped up, yeah.
Yes, tell me more. Who's this character, huh? What?
What do they do, huh?
Are we allowed to
name? About Nora fall in love?
I need that to happen, man.
Yeah, we can't.
I won't be happy until that happens.
There are so many new characters that I'm so excited about.
I won't say anything. If you guys want season 2 to happen, well, big us up, man.
Maybe I should like
share.
Maybe I'll give like a teaser.
Give a teaser. You
what,
could do
what
that.
Can I give that? What could I give?
Just
though?
I don't know. Well, no, because the last episode ends on quite a. Ooh, what's gonna happen?
Oh, that's so true.
What's gonna happen?
Okay, how about
you can't
this?
Tell him anything.
No,
let's just say there's new characters.
But I will say, the next season picks up right where episode 7 ends.
So you find out whether or
you
not.
Find out what happens with that ship. That
yeah,
you see at the very end. Yeah,
I wouldn't say.
No, we can't say anything. But I mean, like, trust me, there are some people on that ship that you want to meet.
Definitely want to meet. There's some awesome characters. But we'll see.
We'll see.
Share us.
Yeah.
Share The Orphans now.
Share the show with your friends, because if we don't find an audience, we can't make another season.
No. And we've really enjoyed making this.
And we really
I mean, even if it's over for our like little personal ears, just like, yeah, we made this. Cool. I showed my nan, she liked it.
I don't... Tell me if I sound like a dick when I say this. Because I don't want to sound like a dick, but I love the show.
No, I love the show.
Like, yeah, because when I write...
Everyone loves the show. Nora was in yesterday. Well, Amy.
Yeah.
She was in yesterday just chilling with us, talking about the show.
It's so exciting.
Just everyone comes together and talks about the show.
I'm seeing Amy on Tuesday. We're going to go through and go through the episode scripts that I've drafted for two.
Oh, and have her feedback.
And I'm giving her feedback, and we're going to... I just...
Yeah, because that's another thing about the show. Like, although Zach writes it, he gets everyone in, and he's like, please tell me what you think. And... Like, you even had me in, and I was the fucking smallest character. We had me doing different accents at one point. Like,
yeah.
It's so cool, because it's everyone just comes together and makes cool shit.
That's exactly what I wanted it to be. I mean, when I'm directing, for those of you who don't know film and how that all works, they're head of departments. So there are the head of the camera departments, the DOP, the director of photography, head of the art departments, the production designer, or art director, or whatever. I treat my actors as the head of the, so Amy's the head of the Nora department. You're the head of the Stella department. I come to you guys and say, look, what do we want to do? Like, of course I have my own vision and my idea of how we're going to go.
Yeah.
But I can never create something that is better than what I have. I can never create something on another level if I don't get other people's input in. Because
And you're really open for like...
change
yeah, like, oh, I've said a few things to you and you're like, yeah, cool, and then done it, and what was even gonna fight me over it?
No, why would I do that? Like, you're just trying to bring cool, exciting, creative ideas. You're a creative person, Amy's a creative person, the whole cast are creative people who bring their own interesting takes on what I write.
Yeah,
the script is not a contract, it's not something to be followed to the letter, it's a suggestion, it's a blueprint of what...
Yeah, and even when we'd be like recording together, sometimes we're like, right, let's change this entire scene.
Yeah.
And we would literally all sit on the floor with a pen, crossing out, and going, wait, what did you say you wanted that to say? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, your first scene, your very first introductory scene.
Didn't we just rewrite the entire
thing? You, me, James, and Gavin all sat down together and just rewrote it.
Yeah, because it just didn't go well.
No.
Was it me? I think I was the issue.
No, I don't think you were the issue. I think it was just there was some unexplored motivation in the original scene.
Yeah.
And some strange motivation for the character, for Gavin especially.
Yeah.
And when we did the scene over, you know, we picked up on that. We picked up that it wasn't quite working. And, you know, I would hate to be that director who... is so in love with their own work
that they
think so highly of themselves
that
they aren't willing to change even when they know it's not great.
Yeah, and because then it's people like that, it just turns out to be poop.
Yeah, that's true.
Well,
we know
a few
people.
No names.
Drama. You don't want no drama.
But no, overall, it's been a cool experience, and I'm really excited for you guys. Well, I mean, you've heard them all now, but
yeah, they've heard
currently them. The third one's about to come out.
About to come out on Monday. It's Friday, and on Monday it's going to come out.
I'm just excited because I feel like, I don't know. We just worked hard.
We worked so hard, and I hope that it comes across that we...
And you know what? That week we have pro... You know that week we said we were going to do the entire thing?
We wouldn't have done it.
I know.
Yeah.
Because, like, we got kicked out, and then we did it all at your house, and we went back into that room only for, like, final mixing, but we would have never done that.
No.
Because you hadn't even done episode 7 at all, basically.
I think I'd cut part of it, but there was...
You'd done half the voice cut. Needed to be...
I thinking about it now...
It wouldn't have been doable.
It would not have...
And we probably would have been pulling our hair out, and it might have been a rush job, so... Maybe getting kicked out, everything happens for a reason, you know, guys.
Yeah, no, really.
Maybe getting kicked out of that room.
We're talking in shorthand.
And it was motivation.
Motivation as well. But we ended up not being able to final mix the last two episodes when we wanted to.
Yeah, and Zach goes in this mood, and it's just, it's so horrible. Because Zach's such a bubbly, happy person all the time. Like, I don't know, singing Backstreet Boys, doing something Zach. And when he's in this mood, he's just completely silent and you know, I know that you're in that mood, so just kind of leave it. Or I'm like, dude, calm down. But you're like, oh, no, I can't.
I can't.
And then you get, it's really funny because you get really excited really easily.
Yeah.
So when I'm like, it's cool because we can go back to yours, take the equipment, take, you know, this Foley stuff, and we can just do it at yours this entire week. And then, boom, you're like, yeah, and you're just back to Zach. It's like, oh, what? It's like bipolar excitement.
Well, it's just when I've solved a problem, when a problem is solved in my head.
But when something goes wrong, it's very obvious.
Well, yeah, because I need, I'm usually...
At least you can still function under that.
Oh yeah,
stress,
I can
though.
Function in that. It's just in my head.
Panic.
Like
mode.
half of my brain is dedicated to solving that problem.
Yeah.
So like I'm functioning on like the half that normally would be like Backstreet Boys, yay, yeah, is like how are we gonna fix the problem? This is a problem. We need to fix it. And the other half is like, what am I doing right now? We need to do this thing right now. And you know, it's like, but no, we were actually, I think, very lucky to have been kicked out when we were.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we, I got it because I was working on animation, but, you know, we still stuck in there.
You were using the room more
yeah,
than I was.
Yeah, no, it's actually true, yeah, but if Carlo found out we was in there doing the orphans as well, probably killed her. Didn't he come in and you were like, oh, big shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been very sneaky because technically we shouldn't have been using the rooms we were because of graduation films and, you know... But fuck it. We did it.
Well,
it's done.
I was only using them in off hours when no one else was there. So.
It's true. And you were only doing final mixes in there.
Yeah.
And the rest of the time I was using it for grab. Do you know what? It was fair.
It was fair.
It was fair. We blood, sweat, and tears went into this project.
It has.
And it's been worth it. Thank you very much. That was my little thank you to the people.
Yes. Thank you for listening. Is there anything you want to say before we sign off? Before we sign off and say goodbye.
Thank you for everyone who's been listening so far. And keep sharing. And there is more to come. There is so much more to come. You don't even know. You don't know,
We
man.
Need funding.
We'll see. We just need supporters so we can get funding. And then we can we can bring it back.
Exactly. Because basically, let's look at it this way. The more people who listen to the show... The more money we could get if we put advertising on it, the more money
and
we get.
And the more cool shit we could do.
Exactly. The more money we get from advertising, the more we can put into the show.
Boom. And that's all we want to do.
Yeah.
That's literally Full all on. We want to do, yeah. But thank you guys for listening so far.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Because obviously.
Share with your friends. If you know anyone who might remotely like this, just show it to them.
Yeah. Why not?
Please.
It's a bit of fun. A bit different.
It is a bit different,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, it's completely different. Especially from anything I've done.
Yeah, well, I mean,
never done this kind of genre before. And I didn't really know what audio dramas were until this. Really,
I still listen to We're Alive. Honestly,
I do need to. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
But yeah.
All right.
That's all.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am thrilled to invite you to Rachel Uncensored, my podcast where I get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. From personal stories to hot button issues, we cover it all. New episodes drop every Wednesday, so make sure you tune in on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.
This interview contains spoilers for episode 1 through 7 of The Orphans, so please listen to that before listening to this interview.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi.
I am not Zach.
No.
This is going to be the one interview that Zach cannot do.
No.
Because, hell, I might do some more interviews, but this is an interview of Zach. By me.
Oh,
I'm James Barbarossa, aka Jeffrey.
Yeah.
And I guess I was also script editor on this.
Yeah, you were.
And here today I am interviewing writer and the least heard voice on this show. On The Orphans. The onboard computer.
I'm the onboard computer.
Zachary Fortes.
And I'm the announcer at the end. I do the credits.
And he's the announcer at the end. So this is Zachary Fortes. Gum.
Hello. Nice to meet you.
Hello.
I'm Zach. I'm foreign. Yeah. Well, not to your ears, but to his ears. I'm Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whereas we're all English on this show.
Yeah, it's an English cast.
It's an English cast. It's an English world. Apart from Gavin, he's Welsh.
Gavin's Welsh. I love Gavin's accent. It's like not half the reason I cast him, because I knew he was a great actor anyways, but his accent didn't hurt, I have to say. I love that accent.
Okay, so why did you decide to make this? Why did you decide to make The Orphans hit audio drama?
We'll see.
The Orphans.
Why? What do you mean? Why did I decide to make an audio drama, or why did I decide to make this audio drama?
Both.
Well, I decided to make an audio drama because I'd always wanted to learn more about sound design. It's something that I really enjoyed, but I didn't kind of get enough practice at. And I wasn't really getting the opportunities at university to do it. And I also wanted to kind of pursue writing. And I sat down with you and I sat down with Ruby, who plays Valerie. And I said, let's make an audio drama, because I'd listened to shows like We're Alive and really just mainly We're Alive, if I'm honest, because I don't know if some quality of other audio dramas kind of let me down when I was researching for the show. But anyways, the reason I decided to make this audio drama was because I was on a shoot in the pouring rain on a beach, and it just came to me. I swear to you, this doesn't normally happen, but I have a notes document that I typed on my iPad in this horrific shoot that I was script supervisor on.
I was struck by a golden rainbow of diamonds.
Look at the notes document. You see pretty much 70% of what The Orphans is now is in that document.
Mm-hmm.
And
what sort of idea was that? How did that idea manifest itself?
It just manifested the idea of it was the idea of doing Lost, but with a sci-fi element.
Mm-hmm.
And then I started coming up with these characters. I came up with the AI character, which I knew would suit you. I came up with the conceit that they had no memory. It all stemmed from each other really quickly.
Yeah.
And it's hard to pinpoint where the first moment was, but I think it was crash landed on a planet, no memory.
Yeah,
and they're being hunted. That was the first thing that I had.
How did that idea develop? What were the stages of the creation of this series?
It's funny because if we're talking about character, I wrote the first episode, and then I think I wrote probably the second or third. But up to that point, I wasn't really, I didn't know what I was doing with it. I didn't know when I was going to do it or how I was going to do it. And then I was, well, depending on how you look at it, I was very lucky or very unfortunate that something in my calendar, something that I was doing, kind of fell off and I couldn't be a part of anymore. And so I was like, I didn't waste time like dwelling over that project. I just went and said, right,
I'm in work mode.
I'm doing my show now
to work on.
Yeah, I decided, you know, I'm going to do my show now, and I continued the scripts. I think I got to about episode 3 or 4 in the writing process, and I had an idea of cast. But really, the finalization of where everything was going to take, where everything was going to go, was when I finally had a cast assembled, and I heard everyone in their roles, and I knew. Because the characters developed so much, even in that first recording session that we had, that I knew...
Just as all the actors.
Yeah, where their trajectory was going from that point. And I kind of finished episode 7 as we were recording episodes probably 1 through 5. Mm-hmm. And that kind of tied everything together. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would you say... some of the pros of... the medium, of the audio medium?
I can... It's funny because I get lost in it sometimes, but what I was going to say is it's easier to stay focused, I think. Because when we're doing film and when we're doing all those other things, we tend to get... Well, I would think that I would tend to get lost in camera and the movements of the camera and the colors and the production design and the editing all before the locations and all that. It's all such a network, but you don't really consider
the sound on the
locations. I found that I don't consider the sound, but mainly the character and the story. And that, with this, is what the heart of it, I hope, would be, was the characters and the story are what drive it, not so much the camera, so much the music, not so much anything, but these characters are driving this, and if the characters weren't good, it wouldn't be good.
I can imagine it's freeing.
It's freeing.
Because you don't have to, you can just make anything
happen. I can do whatever I want.
You can do anything, as long as you can convey it through sound.
I made a lightsaber, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. you didn't make a lightsaber, okay.
I made a laser-tipped sword.
Yeah.
Yeah.
but yeah, you made a laser sword, you made a robot.
Made robots, I made monsters.
You'd need such a higher budget to make this.
If it
visually.
Were a film. Oh, if this were a film, this would easily be
series.
$100 million movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it would be a Game of Thrones level. Maybe not Game of Thrones, but it would be a big production.
Yeah.
But with this,
I could imagine you could do it small.
You could do it small, but it would be still be millions of dollars.
Yeah, you could do a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, that sort of era practical.
Yeah, you could,
but
it was just
the medium.
So much fun.
Yeah,
it's so much fun.
Like animation, you can just do anything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's as costly to make like a spaceship crashing.
Yeah,
as it is to make somebody walking.
Yeah, it's true. In fact, I think it could be even harder to do the walking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, because I have to do the walking myself.
What were some of the cons?
Of the medium of
going to audio from film.
Some things don't necessarily translate.
Mm.
Some humor elements, physical comedy doesn't translate. Well, to an audio medium.
What are you doing?
Why are you flipping me off?
What?
You're...
Oh, it was an example of physical comedy not translating to an audio medium.
Yeah. No, physical comedy really didn't translate. There were a couple of jokes that...
See, that wasn't funny.
No.
That was confusing
exactly,
to the audience.
Because they couldn't see it.
There's the demonstration of...
Yeah. So there were a couple of jokes that I wrote and were funny while we were recording, but I would listen back and think that doesn't really translate or come across, and I would have to cut them, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were some of the physical actions, some of the physical events difficult to convey?
What do you mean?
Sound.
At this point, I haven't done the sound design for episode 7 yet, but I think all of them, that will be the most difficult one to do, because there is so much physicality, especially in the last half of the episode, that if it doesn't come across, it will fall flat. But I think, given what I've done in episodes 1 and 2, just with the climbing of trees, I think that comes across rather well. And that was incredibly hard to do. But now that I know how to do it, I can do it with snap of a finger because I know what to do. But coming up with how that was done was probably the most challenging thing I've had to do in any of the episodes, climbing trees.
And the character journals must help as well.
Oh, they help so much.
The recordings must help because that describes a lot of physical movement.
That was their conceit when I made them is, you know, when you're doing an audio medium, I needed something to narrate, you know, it just wouldn't
be as effective. But you've integrated it in world.
Yeah, I had to integrate it in world because I just wouldn't feel comfortable just doing narration.
Just doing narration.
Yeah.
So how do you find working with the cast as individual actors?
What's
your directing
as
style?
A director, each of the cast members have their own strengths and have their own weaknesses, and it's up to me as a director to kind of take into account both of those things and support their weaknesses and let their strengths really soar. That's probably the most difficult part, is, you know, maintaining that between each different cast member, especially when we're in a group setting. It's a lot easier to do that when we would record, you know, one-on-one scenes, or when we record narration, because I could just focus on one or two people. But when we have 7 people in the room, and I have 7 people's strengths and 7 people's weaknesses all to kind of take into account, it gets a lot more difficult. And you'll often, you know, you can attest to this, when I'm at these recording sessions, I am just the most flustered person you'll find, because
it's pretty funny,
because I have 7 people that I'm constantly trying to check in on and make sure,
and we're all
they're fine, all and you're they're all fucking with me. No, but I think, not to pick favorites, but I think my favorite person to work with, other than you, because I think you just come into the studio and you know the character so well already that it's less direction and more conversation between you and I about what we want to achieve. So not taking you into account.
Fair.
I think,
because obviously I understand what you're trying to get across.
Yeah, and because you were there from the inception of the character.
We write together.
And yeah, we have a short term.
Yeah,
a shorthand with each other. I would say the person who I get in the studio and I have the most fun working with is probably Amy.
Yeah.
Because Nora. Nora. Because she's the audience.
Because
she's my avatar.
Wants to help you as well.
She wants to help me as well.
She's on your side.
So much fun with the recordings. On my side.
Of this war between the cast and you.
Also Gavin. Comes in and he'll do his lines very quickly. He's probably the most of all of them, I think, other than you, who, like, you just know it. Gavin will come in and just, who's Richard, he'll come in and just nail it. He'll do it really professionally, and we finish so early with him. With other cast members, it's a longer process because they just work in a different way. You know, with someone like Declan, who's Will, it's more improv based because his character is kind of the comic relief of the group.
He's more of a funny guy than he is like an actor.
Well, yeah, he's not an actor by trade, but which isn't to say he can't give a good performance. But you know, it requires a different process.
It's more of summoning it from just him as a person.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that requires more time. So it's just different processes with
Who's your least favorite? Call some bitches out.
No.
Who's the worst? No.
What do you mean
by
worst?
Let's publicly shame.
No,
I
don't want to shame any of my cast members, because every single one of them, I think, have delivered incredibly strong performances throughout the series, and each of them have their own moment to shine.
It's Laura, isn't it? She's the worst.
No. Yeah. No.
Laura, who plays Olivia, is undoubtedly.
No.
That's what you're saying.
No! That's my girlfriend.
Laura is ex-girlfriend, so.
No, everyone has their own moments. Yeah. and their own working methods. I wouldn't dare shame a cast member like that, because they're wonderful. And I honestly am very sad to see them all go.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll work with them again in the future.
Hopefully. I'd love to. I'd love to do another series of this show.
What would you say as a writer, your narrative approach to the sort of the story, the long-running story of the first season of this show?
When I'm writing, I kind of have this idea of goalposts or a roadmap in my head, where I have a starting point, I have a midway point, and I have an end point. And whatever happens between there kind of happens. And I know where I'm going, so I know what I need to say kind of to get there. But I find it becomes a lot more in the moment of these characters as I'm writing it than it is meticulously planned. That's how I like it, because if I don't know what's going to happen, it kind of forces me to really consider it, and I feel like it gets me to act more in the moment like these characters would be. It's a lot of fun, but it takes a lot of faith in myself. I'm always, and that being said, the way that my brain works, I'm always about 4 episodes or 3 episodes ahead. Like, I'm just to say, I'd love to do a second series of this show. I have a second series that I'm writing. I'm just about to start episode 3 of the second series, just writing wise. Where I am right now, I know where we are in episode 6. And I know what's going to happen there. I don't necessarily know how we get there, but I know that we're going to be there.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the approach.
Because your working style is that you made this series without connection to distribution or without any funding. So I imagine it will the creation of a season 2.
Yeah,
would simply be down to opportunity.
Yeah, exactly.
If you could get enough people together in rooms,
we would just have to fund it. That's the end game. If we did a season 2, it would just have to be funded, because
I feel like you'd find a way.
Yeah, we were very well. Hopefully,
I feel like you'd find a way to make it. You know.
Yeah. I'd love to. And we'll see. But it's just, we're very lucky is that I'm in my final year of university, and we had access to these facilities, to this equipment. And that's just not something I'll have come a year's time when we would be doing it. And, you know, we'll all be working, and we can't just take out weeks and months of our time without being paid for it. So if we did a season 2, it would be a very different set of circumstances to how we did season 1.
What was your which was your favorite character to write, their story, their storyline over the course of the season?
Well, Nora's been my avatar into the world, but I'm gonna put Nora aside, because I think her journey's kind of very hard. It's hard. You know what? I'm thinking about all these different characters, and they all go through so much. I could talk to you for ages about each one of them and their arcs, but if I had to choose one, it'd probably be Baz, just because of the different arcs that he goes through in the show. He goes from being quiet and reserved and, you know, your friend, Jeffrey's friend, and he eventually is thrust into a leadership position, and that scares him, and he doesn't know what to do with it. And I think working with Alex, who plays Baz, to get there, and working in the writing to get there was probably the most fun to do, was working with that arc and that reluctance in that character.
Cool.
Yeah,
well, there we are.
There we are.
Wait, who was the hardest character, like, who was the hardest character to write, just because?
I think the hardest character to write was It was never Jeffrey, because he kind of... I had a reference point in you that kind of flowed out of me.
I'm just Jeffrey.
Valerie, because I think so much of her character is internal, and that was so hard to get across, and that I think...
In an audio medium.
In an audio medium.
Because it's got to be spoken. If it's not spoken...
Yeah.
If it's not heard, it doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. So I have to... It was... How do I get across... what I have for this character and do her justice. And I don't know if I've done Valerie justice, but I hope I have. But I think with the addition of Ruby and Valerie, I think she brought something to her that really brought what I wanted from that character out. And because there was a risk with that character that Ruby and I were both aware of, that she could be very similar to Nora.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't want that to be the case because I wanted her to be very different. And I think she is.
Well, because Nora has people skills.
Yeah, and what Valerie is she's aggressive. She's not sociable.
She's a warrior.
She's a warrior, but she's also funny.
Yeah.
And it was differentiating between Nora and making the performance different. Yeah.
And of course, that must have been so much easier because obviously Ruby's a pretty funny person.
She's a very funny person. Yeah. She's a lot of her stuff was off the cuff.
Yeah.
A lot of her stuff was improvised, which was great. And that was very true amongst a lot of the cast members was if I didn't like a scene or I thought something wasn't working or they could do something with the character better or they could do it in any way better, I let them change the script because that... obviously, I kept it within reason. You know, I didn't change the plot or anything. But if they could change dialogue and the conceit of a scene to make it work better for them, it always worked. It always worked in the favor of the show.
Whereas I think that must have differentiated the Valerie from Nora.
Oh, yeah.
Just because, you know, Ruby can bring this natural humor to it. And Amy's just naturally, like, the least funny, enjoyable.
That's not true.
Nice person to be. Just a horrible, just awful person.
Amy isn't. Shut up.
Right? That's what you're saying. That's what you're saying.
No, Amy just, her care. It's funny how I see Amy change now as from Nora to Amy, to herself. Because I do notice a change now when she's Nora versus when she's Amy, because Amy as a person, she's light, she's fun, she's funny, but she has a different... Yes, she is. Because I socialize with her, you know, sometimes.
Wow.
But no, when she's...
I'm just kidding, Amy. We're cool.
When she's Nora, I see this different side of her, and she has she has a different voice when she's Nora. She has... It's fun seeing the transition into Nora. Yeah.
Well, there we are.
Yeah. Shall we...
Shall we wrap it up?
Yeah.
Well, final question.
Yeah.
This is going to be the hardest one.
Oh.
Have you had fun? Have you enjoyed working?
I've had more fun than I'm willing to admit.
Yeah.
This, I've had so much fun. It has been the most enjoyable project that I've ever had the pleasure of doing.
Brilliant.
The cast... Jody Stedman, who I've worked with in the sound design, everyone has just made this an absolute delight to work on, and I've had a great time.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Zachary Fortescombe.
Thank you for listening.
Writer and director and sound designer.
And producer.
And producer.
And everything.
Of The Orphans. And also, I think, obviously, biggest role. Is onboard computer.
Of course.
Play us out with a little bit of onboard computer.
What? How I do the onboard?
Yeah, do some.
File deleted.
There we are. Ladies and gentlemen, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Hey there, it's Rachel Ballinger, and I am extremely excited to invite you to Rachel Uncensored. It's my podcast where I sit down and get real with my friends and celebrity guests, where we talk about all sorts of topics. And sometimes we might be under the influence when we do so. We cover things from personal stories to hot button issues. And it's the only place on the internet you can find an uncensored version of me. It's a side of me that you might not have seen before because it's not the most family or brand friendly. But don't worry, I'm still sort of slightly a decent human being. If you're intrigued, then make sure you check it out. New episodes drop every Wednesday. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Trust me, you won't want to miss out on the fun and candid conversations we have here on Rachel Uncensored.